Accession number 9875, reel 6.
Mr. Ashurst, reel 6. We were discussing how well you got on with the French, and you mentioned you used to go to Estaminets. What was the Estaminet like at La Bise, or was there more than one?
I wouldn't say whether there was more than one. There was one we went in anyway. Might have been only that one.
And what was it like? Can you describe it for me?
Oh, it was just a poor little cottage. You know, with a bit of a counter inside as you walked in. And those where they served the beer. Kids used to come in, you know, and we had a pint, you know, a gill, you know. Little children. They couldn't reach top of the counter. They used to get a gill of beer. It wouldn't have made a sparrow drunk, you know, the beer. We never drank beer. Soldiers, they never drank beer. It was the poorest stuff you'd ever...
What was poor about it?
The quality. It was nothing, only brown water. I mean, these kiddies were coming in and they were giving them gills for a penny or so.
So what did you drink?
Vin Blanc, mostly. White wine.
Did you like it?
Yes, I did then. And of course, it was no use bothering about beer. Beer was no good, so...
How much would you drink on a night?
Oh, two or three glasses, that's all.
So there was no... you weren't getting drunk?
No, no. I've never been drunk in my life, I don't think. Anywhere.
Well, so how would an evening progress? You'd arrive at the Estaminet. How many people would there be in there? What would you do?
Oh, it would perhaps be full.
What's full? Standing room only, or...?
Yes, everybody sat down at tables, and what table there were, say a couple of tables, that would be full, and they'd be standing round, you know, and you'd just get your drinks and be chatting away with other English soldiers, you know.
Would the French go as well, besides the kids, or was it just the troops?
Oh, the French men would go in, oh yes, well, there were. There weren't any, you know. Jerry snuffled them. But, what there were, all men. There'd be an old man or two inside, you know, having a drink. And, that's all.
How would you pay drink by drink, or did they just serve a table the French way?
Oh, no, we'd have it drink by drink, just as we required it.
As in?
Get two more, and we'd, you know, there's two of us or three of us, get three more.
So it was like in England at a
pub? Oh, yes. He'd fill up three more glasses, you know, and serve them.
Would there be women there?
Yes. Oh, yes, there were women there. Mm. Not a lot. Not a lot of women. Probably be a woman behind the bar, you know, or two. Serving.
Would there be any goings-on between...
No,
the
there's no music or goings-on much there. Not there. Not in Le Bise, no. If there was any in Le Bise, I never saw it. Neither did many other people never saw it. We never did on the quiet. But when you get to Armentieres...
Yeah, we'll
what a hell of a difference. When you get in Armentieres boozing, oh, dear me.
So... That was how... Would you spend every night in the Estaminet of your four nights? Or you couldn't... three nights?
Well, yes, I think so. Because that was where the company got, you see. Just in the Estaminet.
How did you manage for money? Because you didn't get paid very much, did you?
No, we didn't. We used to get paid every so often. With a bob a day. That's all we had, you know.
Was it the money that stopped you drinking more?
Probably had something to do with it, yes. Yes. Yes, we could have done with more money. Mm. Although it weren't dear wine, I don't think. I forget how much it was for a glass of Vin Blanc. It was only about five.
Would many men get drunk?
No.
It was just a fairly sober...
Oh, yes, I don't think they could stop enough to get drunk. you know.
What other recreations would you have? I mean, was there organised games?
Oh, there was bits of games. No regular football games or anything like that. You know. Men would make up the games, all sorts of things.
What about cards, gambling, that sort of thing?
Ah, there'd be a bit of that.
Were you
card playing.
Were you interested at all?
Yes, I used to play. Oh, I'd play now and again.
Which game?
A game at Bragg, mostly.
Would it be actual gambling, or would it just be for...
No, gambling. For what bit of money I had, you know, ain't it a pennies or something like that. Of course, you got enough of that on Mudros, you know.
Oh, right.
Monte Carlo, Mudros. That's where you did your gambling, you know.
Right.
Oh, that was a sight of a lifetime.
Now, you mentioned you got parcels when you were, I think.
Yes.
You'd get them while you were at Le Bise, would they?
Oh, yes.
And what would be in the parcels at this time in the war? And we're talking December 14-ish.
Well, they'd send you such things as gloves and, you know, balaclavas and
the balaclavas socks. Were sent, were they? Or were they issued?
No, they weren't issued. No, they were sent mostly. And socks.
Any food?
Gloves. Food, yes. Yes, fancy cakes and all squashed up to hell when you got them. Oh, yeah.
Would you share them out?
Yes, you shared them out. Especially with the people in the cottage, you know.
The French?
Aye, because they never got anything really like ours. Chocolate cake and all that sort of thing, you know. We used to give them. They looked forward to them anyway.
How many parcels would you get?
Oh, not so many. Not so many.
Because it's expensive for your family.
Oh, yes. No, you didn't get so many. You might be lucky if you got... What? If you got a parcel every fortnight, you was extremely lucky. You know.
Was it always your mum and dad who sent it, or...?
Yes, or... daughters or some of the sisters. You know, my sisters.
What about letters? Would you write home regularly?
Yes, fairly regularly. Not too often, mind you. No. You couldn't seem to sit down and write letters.
You
didn't seem to be comfortable enough somewhere. Well, you used to get letters from them, you know.
What sort of things would you write to them?
About the war, mostly. What it was like, you know.
Would you tell them the truth?
Quiet. Oh, yes, yes.
Were you censored at that time?
No. No. We gave them to the officer, but I don't think he bothered any further. You had to give it to the officer, you know, your letter.
But you don't think he looked at them?
I don't. He didn't bother, no. He didn't bother to look at them, no.
Would you be careful not to mention Le Bise and where you were and what you were doing and what the other battalions were?
Oh, yes, you didn't see anything much like that. They really weren't interested in that, your parents, you know what I mean. Did you want to know how you was? You'd tell them how he was going on in the billet and all that sort of thing, you know, with the French people. And
so
how you dined.
Was it once a week, you reckon, or...?
What?
That you wrote. Once
oh,
a
no.
week?
No, probably not. May have been longer than that.
And how many letters would you get from home and from whom?
Oh, not... anymore either. Didn't get them every day by a damn long way, you know. I think they were delayed terribly sometimes, your letters. Anyway, they'd be there when you came out of the trenches, you know. You'd have them then, and you'd sit having your supper reading them. Reading them to French people and all, letting them hear what they had to say.
Did you look forward to letters? Were they important to you?
Oh, yes, they were. Oh, yes, they were very welcome, was a letter or a card.
What sort of thing would your parents write to you?
Well, telling me how things were over here, you know. And hope I was quite well and fit, you know, and all that sort of thing. That's all they could say, really.
You wouldn't have any leave during this time at all, would you?
I had No leave. I'd only leave once, me, you know.
And the whole time in
France?
And
the whole 4 years.
Yeah.
I only had it once. Yes. I went home then.
I'll come to that, because the next thing that really comes along is at the end of December, you went into the line, and you were in the front line at the time of the Christmas truce.
Yes.
And the second Lancashire, you were in the truce. I mean, you were actually involved in it.
Yes.
Now, I'd like you to tell me the story of that, starting from when you first got into the line, which would be when... can you remember which date it was? Was it a couple of days before Christmas?
Well, I came out with frozen feet, didn't I, after that?
That's right. You came.
And went down the line on New Year's. Well, that would be the second time in, wouldn't it? It wouldn't be Christmas time. I mean, we'd have been out and had 4 days and gone in again. Anyway, it started by...
Were there any signs the day before Christmas?
Not much, no. No, there were no signs really much of anything, only...
Was there any planning?
We all knew it was Christmas, and we were expecting a Christmas parcel to come up in the rations. A bit extra, you know, which it did, really.
What came up?
Well, such a thing as plum pudding and lumps of plum pudding and things like that. And didn't we get that box of cigarettes from the Queen? Didn't we get them that year? Whether, you know, have you seen one? The box of... I have it there in my medals in. We got that. And... it started by, Merry Christmas, lads, you know, talking in the trench, like that, and we can hear Jerry, he's chatting quite loudly this particular morning, and he starts to sing, Jerry, and he's singing a Christmas carol, you know, in German, a damn good singing too, and we're shouting, Good lad, Jerry, you know, Uncle, we're shouting. And a fellow come next, playing a cornet. Oh, God, he was a good one, too. And he was playing a carol with his cornet. It didn't half rattle out all them lands, you know. Rattle out. It was beautiful to hear him play it. We were shouting, hooray, good lad, Jerry. And we kept looking over, you know. And there was nobody shooting. And, so we started shouting to him, you know, Merry Christmas, Jerry. And he shouted it back, you know. And about 11 o'clock? No, about 10 o'clock, something like that, in the morning, or half past. And Jerry's walking across. And he's a stick with a white flag on it, you know. And he's walking across towards our lines. Of course, when he gets halfway, he stops, which he has to do, you know. When he gets halfway with his flag, he stops, waiting for somebody, has to go out and bring him in, you see. So we sent a fella out, our lot, went to him, met him, and brought him in. Well, he's a prisoner of war. When he gets in our lines, he's immediately a prisoner of war. We've got to keep him as a prisoner of war, and we have to tell him so. You see? Because he's not been blindfolded. That fellow that went out for him should have blindfolded him and then brought him in. But he didn't. So our officers had to tell him that he was a prisoner of war. Best thing it were for him it was, you know, if he only knew it. So he was kept as a prisoner of war. Anyhow, the message said, like, could we have an armistice of 2 hours? From 11 o'clock till 1. That's what the message was. And our people agreed. They sent a messenger back, you know, agreeing.
Now, you saw this man come across yourself, did you, from your place in the line?
No, I didn't see him, no. But he was out of sight of me. But that's what happened.
You were told about that.
Oh, yes, that's what happened. Because we got the story about him being... Our officer told us about him. He had to keep him, and he played hell, I believe, this German. He played hell about it, but it made no difference, you know. You're a prisoner of war. And they sent him down the line, prisoner of war.
How did they arrange with the Germans, so that there was an armistice if they'd confiscated the emissary, so to speak, you know?
Well, I tell you, one of our fellows went back with the message, with the answer to the message. And he was met by a German, you see, and taken in. So that the thing was agreed.
Was he kept as a prisoner of war, or was he...
Oh, no, he was quite all right.
He was blindfolded?
Yes, you see. That's what every fellow should be when he's like that, going in between the lines. He's blindfolded halfway so that he can't see the positions of the enemy. So this fellow was kept prisoner. I believe he played hell, I believe. But anyway, made no difference. He never knew it was the best thing that ever happened to him in his life, which it probably was. And, of course, they have no objections, because they know that's the truth and it should be done, you know, the Jerrys. They knew it should be done.
Who agreed this armistice? At what level of command? Was it the colonel?
A local commander, I suppose.
Would that be the colonel?
Oh, yes, the colonel in charge. And whether he wired back headquarters, bear in mind, I don't know that. Whether he wired, got a messenger back to, like, general headquarters, I don't know nothing about that. But the thing was passed round, it came round to us.
How were you told?
We're told that no man must fire at a German after 11 a.m. until 1 p.m. No man must fire at all at any German. And they would do the same.
What did you think of that when you were told that?
Okay, well, that was very nice, you know. And it came 11 o'clock, of course, and we'd been standing up on the firing parapet, you know, and nobody was shooting, and Jerry was doing the same. So one or two fellas jumped out on top, you know, and another or two stopped in the trench with their rifles ready, you know, called. But they didn't need. As these two fellas got up, others followed, and there were scores of us on top at finish.
When did you get out, then?
Well, soon after them. Soon after. Because it was 2 hours altogether, you know.
How did you feel about when you first got out of the
trench? Oh, it was grand. You could stretch your legs and run about on the hard... It was a hard surface then, you know. And on the soft clay. And we tied a sandbag up, you know, empty sandbag. We tied it up with itself in string and kicked it about on top. Just to keep warm, of course. And Jerry, he was sliding on a pond. We could tell he was sliding on an ice pond. The way... He started off, you know, and went so gently across to the other end, and another followed him. We could tell they were sliding on a pond just behind the line.
So how far was there between you and the Germans? Still
200.
So you weren't getting in, you didn't intermingle?
No. We did not intermingle. Only half part way through this armistice, we were all playing football and all on top. Jerry and all was all on top. And some Jerrys came to their wire with a newspaper. And they were waving it, you know. And, what's that, lads? You're going for it? I'm not going for it. Anyway, a corporal in our company went for it, a bit lower down than our trench, you know.
Could you see it, though, what was happening?
Oh, yes, oh, could see all this. So this corporal went, he said, I'll go for it. He got halfway and he stopped, you know. I don't know whether he changed his mind or not, but the lad shouted, go on, get a paper. So he did when they shouted to him like that. He went right to the wire and the Germans shook hands with him, wishing him Merry Christmas sort of thing, and give him the paper. And he came back just like a good soldier. And, of course, we couldn't read a word of it, so it had to go to an officer. You know, they got it. And that was the armistice. And do you know, there was fellas walking about on top of our trench, our fellas, at 5 o'clock at tea time, and not a shot had been fired. And the armistice finished at 1 o'clock.
So between 11 and 1, when you got out yourself, did you feel nervous about the Germans breaking it?
No. Not when there were so many of us on top. Oh, no. We knew that couldn't be so then, and we could see him knocking about all over the place.
And you weren't tempted at all. I know you weren't, but if you could just explain. You weren't tempted at all to break it yourself. Could you just explain why not?
Not in the least. I was more tempted to keep it going for a long time. I was like a lot more.
Why was that?
Because it was so pleasant to get out of that trench from between them two walls of clay and walk and run about. It was heaven, you know that. And kick this sandbag about.
Did you actually play football with it?
Yes. We didn't have a match. We were just kicking it from one to another all over the place. In no man's land.
But you didn't play with the Germans at all?
No. We didn't. Now, you see, quite a lot did up and down the place, I believe. But we didn't. There was only this togetherness, say, with the Germans and us, with that one corporal going for that paper. We never met any other Germans, us.
You stayed 150, still, 200 yards apart throughout.
But still, yes, but still, our fellas, they walked along the top from one trench to another at 5 o'clock at tea time, and they weren't shot.
When it came to 1 o'clock then, what did you do? I mean, you're getting close to 1 o'clock. The armistice was going to end at 1 o'clock. What did you do?
Well, we started drifting back. Some of us didn't and some of us did.
What did you do?
I drifted back, you know, and
Why was that? You thought what was going through
no,
your head?
No, it was the command was finished, you see. The command, the armistice was finished. So the place was back in your trenches.
Where were the officers?
I didn't know how quick they'd do it, how quick they'd start shooting. You see? Anyway, most of us got back. But odd ones wouldn't get back. And at 5 o'clock at tea time, a fellow walked across our trenches, going to another trench to see a pal of his. At 5 o'clock? That's 1 o'clock, the armistice finished.
How long were you walking about on top then, after 1 o'clock?
Oh, only a few minutes.
So you got back in your trench?
Oh, yes, yes.
What, was that a better safe than sorry attitude, or what?
Yes, I should think so. Yes, because you never knew what was going to happen after 1 o'clock. Anyway, nothing did happen, either with us or with them. They never fired us. As a matter of fact, the Germans took a pole with a white flag on in front of the wire.
In front of the wire?
No, we're in the wire. He stuck a pole up with a white flag on it. And he was shouting, "Don't shoot." You see?
Were you still shouting to them?
Oh, yes, yes, we were shouting. Okay, you know. No shoot. Yes, we were still shouting to one another. And I tell you, nothing happened. 5 o'clock, this is 4 hours after the armistice finished.
Just one question before you go on to five. Where were the officers and the senior NCOs of your battalion during this? Were they on top as well?
They weren't with us, no. My officer wasn't with us.
Where was he?
He was with the officers somewhere back behind. I don't know where, really.
Were there any officers involved at all?
I don't remember seeing any. I don't remember seeing any on top.
And were there any?
Not with us, playing with that sandbag we had on anyway.
What about the Germans? Could you have been. Were they just privates and lower NCOs as well?
Appeared to be, yes. Yes. And what started it, you see? We got orders come down the trench. Get back in your trenches, every man. See, the armistice finished.
How did that order come round?
By word of mouth, down each trench. Fella bobbing round out of that trench, round the traverse, and saying, everybody back in your trenches, you know, and shouting. Of course, somebody took no damn notice. Anyway, the generals behind must have seen it and got a bit suspicious. So what they did, they gave orders for a battery of guns behind us to fire and a machine gun to open out, you know, and officers to fire their revolvers at the Jerry's, you know. Of course, that started the war again. Yeah.
How did you feel about that?
Oh, we were cursing them to hell. Us. Cussing the generals and that. You want to get up here in this stuff. Oh, mind your big giving orders and your big shuttles and driving about in your big cars. Yes. We hated the sight of bloody generals.
Did you hate them?
We always did, all through the war. We never liked generals.
Did that start after this, or was that the case before that?
How do you mean?
Well, did you hate them before they restarted the war on the Christmas truce, so to speak?
Not so much, no. No, that always was in our crops, you might say, you know. We never liked them after that. Because we had papers come from here, from England, accusing us of fraternising, you know, with the Germans. And we were reading it there in the busy. Parsons accusing us of fraternising with the Germans. And it had been an armistice. Of course, we know it finished at 1 o'clock, but it had been an armistice. And it was Christmas Day. The day of all good people, you know. So what could you say about that?
What did you say?
Well, I wrote back home and told them.
What, you told your family?
Aye, I told them off. I said, like most of the soldiers said, we'd just do with that parson and them fellas that's writing in them newspapers. Here, we said, we're Jerry in front of us instead of Jerry. We wanted them there in front of us instead of Jerry so we could shoot them down. That's what we were saying. Yes, if we're fraternising, let them come over and get up front there. These fellows were nice and friendly across, and they were passing remarks like that. Nice and safe in England, weren't they? Yes, there was hell to go with the men, I'll tell you.
Did it change your attitude to the Germans?
Yes, it did. It did. I was properly vexed about it.
But what did you think of the Germans afterwards?
Oh, no.
Did it make you feel more friendly, or just the same, or what?
Well, just the same. Didn't make me feel any worse. Just the same anyway, if I didn't feel more friendly. It was just as good.
Now, the army...
Because I had instances, you know, of meeting Germans. They come later on.
Now, the armistice, had you cleared any bodies from between the lines? Had you used it for anything?
There'd been none. It was supposed to be for that. But there was none. Not near us. The Germans perhaps cleared one or two. They may have done. But we didn't. There was none lying in front of us.
Would you say that was just a ruse to get the armistice? I mean, there wasn't really any purpose. The armistice was just to let people stretch their legs, get out of the trenches and have a day off.
No, I think it was because it was Christmas Day. That's why we had the armistice. Because it was Christmas Day. And somebody had decided that we mustn't fight. You see?
Someone in authority.
And they'd have this 2 hours anyway. They didn't have it all Christmas Day. They would have this 2 hours. Right up above, somebody must have decided.
On which side?
I wouldn't say. I wouldn't be surprised if it was Germans, because they seemed to make more of it than we did. And they were jolly and singing and shouting. The Germans, more so than us, you know. They were singing like hell at the top of their voices. Yes, they
what
were
happened,
there.
What happened to the white flag on the broomstick?
Oh, well, it went down, of course, eventually. He took it down when it was... When we started... Of course, it started the war again then. When we started battering them and firing a machine gun at them, they're not going to stand for that.
So they didn't...
They knew the war was starting again.
So
they must have had the same thoughts of us, as us.
Did they reply straight away, the moment the British battery and machine gun opened up? Did they fire back straight away?
No, but naturally it made everybody get under cover.
And how long was it before the Germans started firing?
Oh, later on.
Quite a while later.
Yes, quite a while before they started to be... to send anything back at us. But of course, when we fired shells at them, they had to fire back, hadn't they? So they sent a few artillery shells over.